And at 29 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, Sean Latter from PSG Wealth is in the house. Nice to see you again, Sean.
Yeah, likewise, Dave.
And I thought it was interesting that in the news today, with all of the sort of regular gloom and doom, is a little glimmer of sunshine in the sense that the S&P Global's rating expects a bit of growth in our economy. Not as much as we need, as you said quite rightly before we were on air, but they're projecting growth of between 1.3 and 1.6% annually for the next 2 years, which is more than double the estimated growth for last year, but about half of, as you said earlier, what we really need to get the economy cooking. But it does seem to be that things are pointing in the right direction. And apparently one of the biggest drivers for this is load shedding having more or less been brought under control to a degree. What does that mean in real terms?
Dave, yeah, I think just quickly to pick up on it, like you rightly said, it is good news. We'll take whatever good news we can get at this stage of the game when it comes to the economy. The other side of it is that S&P is by nature fairly conservative. So the fact that they're saying 1.3 to 1.5 means that maybe we could even tease something between 1.5 and 2 if we're lucky. But yeah, very good news. I think what it also speaks to, especially when we're going to have the tabling of another budget, I think that'll give the finance minister at least a little bit of confidence going into the new budget speech. In fact, that, you know, growth was always in my mind, and to a large degree, some of the opposition were saying it is, you know, to solve the deficits, we need to grow the economy rather than just tax more. So I think that's it's fortuitous timing that we've got that sort of coming from S&P, which is very well respected. And perhaps, like I said, it'll give a little bit of the finance minister's headaches will be alleviated from that.
Well, I see that he's planning to cut a huge tranche of government spending to balance the books. Apparently, there's also going to be a run on food items that previously have been zero rated or given an incentive for a bit of relief. That's probably going to be taken away. And no doubt, the budget's never what one wants to happen, but ultimately, it seems that all the political parties are in accord now, and that tomorrow's budget will be passed without any more delays. But you alluded to the fact that we desperately need growth in our economy, and that's kind of the panacea for most of the ills that beset us. Not, of course, the greatest of the ills that beset us, which is without doubt rampant corruption. It's interesting to hear some commentator yesterday saying, you know, these center-right capitalists like Rob Herzog and his new vocal platform are kind of not really hitting the mark when they talk about socialism and, you know, those agendas driving government policy at the moment. The thinking is, no, what you've got is rampant crony capitalism. It is capitalism, but the worst kind, because the intention has never been to build anything. It's been to take as much as possible for as long as possible. And until South Africa wakes up and smells the daisies or the coffee or the roses or whatever, this is going to continue. Doesn't really matter what we say. Economists can flag stuff and beg and plead and jump up and down, but while the pigs are at the trough, to coin a phrase, it's a feeding frenzy. Now, I presume that's a bit of a depressing overview, and we see our president and a delegation of ministers, including John Steenhuisen, sitting in America right now trying to persuade our biggest trading partner not to pull the plug on AGOA and to possibly rein in some of his more draconian decisions with regard to the punitive measures that he's going to place on, particularly, as he said, those that have been looting the country. Well, you know, I don't know where the truth lies. you can't believe almost anything you hear anymore, or what you see even, because it's so tampered with. But what is your view on this mission to America? Do you think it's going to yield anything positive?
Dave, I think it's going to give us some very key insights into what Trump and the rest of the administration really thinks about South Africa, and what their potential plans are for or with South Africa. I think that's the one side of it. Is it going to be fruitful? To my mind, and at the risk of perhaps being slightly pessimistic, I don't think we're going to get much out of it. I read someone say, you know, if we can walk away with a handshake, we've done well. I think Trump is going to play hardball with President Ramaphosa. I think he's going to make it very difficult for him to ask for anything until certain things change.
The request from the South African delegation was for the meeting to be held in camera. In other words, out of camera.
Out of camera.
Out of view. But the Americans are saying the chances of that are pretty much, if Trump stays true to form, he will want as many cameras on the occasion as possible. And there is a strong suspicion he's going to pull what they call a Zelensky on the South African delegation and humiliate them. Well, I can't say that I'd feel particularly aggrieved by that, because I think it's high time that some of our senior politicians are humiliated sufficiently to accept at least some culpability for the rampant the plundering of the state coffers that's been under their watch. I'm not suggesting that they are implicit directly, but certainly they have been presiding over what has been a bloodbath.
Yes,
and it's time for this to end now. Whether, of course, that is just hopeful. But the fundamentals, and we say this generally when we get together, and maybe it's wishful thinking, South Africa does seem to be, in a sense, aching for change and ready for change. And if the winds of change start to blow, a bit like the ocean that recovers dramatically once it's given a chance, I think the South African economy will do something similar.
Well, I think possibly the biggest benefit that the South African economy has got in its favor right now is the low base that it's coming off. So in other words, it's around saying that we've lagged so long that we're coming off such a low base from a potential perspective that it's not going to take us too much, if I can say that in inverted commas almost. So in other words, do less things wrong as opposed to a lot more things right. So if we could just do a few less things wrong, I think that 3% GDP level is in sight. I wouldn't say it's achievable right now, but I'd say it's in sight. And I'd say that we could definitely work towards that in a meaningful manner because we're coming off a low base. But I do think we are going to have to see some serious shifts from, if for nothing else, the perspective of where South Africa is seen in the light of the global economy. And, you know, if we start to get a little bit more positive press, what we've also got, and again, you know, there are many, many corporates and companies sitting on piles of cash. That they're just not willing to deploy into this economy right now to grow themselves, because they're worried about the political landscape and the economic landscape. So if we start to see a bit of a shift, potentially those tides will start to move, and potentially we could see a really positive shift in the right direction.
And if, as I understand it, your job is to make sense of the economy or the opportunities that exist for investment, and your track record speaks for itself. You've been able to, in the worst of circumstances, you've been able to show a return for your clients and a positive one. And if that's the case in times that are considered to be rather dreary, I presume that potentially, when things turn around, because we have to, it's going to be a wonderful time ahead, looking at it that way. But if you're looking at it pragmatically right now, the situation, how do you protect what is yours from being eroded by inflation, taxation, thievery, skullduggery. Where would you, if you, I know it's not easy to give a panacea, one shot, one bullet, but what would you be looking at now?
Dave, you know, we've always looked to the premise of diversification, and it's become such a buzzword that it seems to have lost some of its value, because it seems like it's one of those exercises of, well, just put a little bit everywhere and you'll be fine. But certainly, what we do from a strategic but also a tactical perspective is to say, you know, things are happening so quickly that one has to move along with those, and so, you know, we believe that we select incredibly good asset allocators in the fund managers that we choose, and they're able to move between the different asset classes. So that's a sort of bedrock of what we'll look at. But if we have to scratch a little bit deeper, and I mean, we're talking about the South African economy, and of course, we are hoping for better times, and I do think they will come. But we have to also be mindful that when we're looking at it from an investment perspective, our local market, the JSE, which happens to be, you know, from a number of companies, seems to be shrinking all the time. I see that African Rainbow is also looking at delisting in the near future. So we got less and less opportunity here from an investor perspective. And at the same time, what we have to acknowledge is that we represent 0.5% of the global investment market. So are there opportunities here? Absolutely 100%. Can we capitalize on them? For sure. But we then really have to make sure that we are looking outside of our own borders and taking some of our money globally to ensure that not only are we getting a better piece of the action when we look at world markets, but also we're starting to defend our own capital from potential hazards within our own borders.
Just as a final point, when last we spoke, you were unpacking the dangers of people reacting to the current uncertainty in South Africa by trying to get their money out of South Africa, all of it, into international havens, as they call them, and not paying much attention to the tax downside of which is substantial.
Yes.
If you want to listen to that that conversation, it's available on our website or on our apps under the Morning Show podcast. It's a fascinating look at why you shouldn't be moving all your money into a so-called safe haven overseas if you're planning to bring it back, or if you're thinking of bringing it back, or hopefully not your estate bringing it back when you have turned up, kicked up the heels. But that's a conversation that was held and certainly available on record to listen to. Just a quick recap, there are dangers of moving all your money offshore.
I think the biggest danger is that people then take money and allocate them directly to offshore assets. So we want it domiciled out the country, absolutely, but we don't want to hold direct assets, especially when it comes to the US. And we did chat, like we mentioned, about CITES tax. It's a huge pitfall that a lot of people who have just said, well, I'm going offshore, I'm going to put it in the S&P 500 and I'll be done with it. So there are extreme pitfalls to that. Similarly, there's a lot of people that are sitting with UK bank accounts. There are, from a probate perspective, which is equivalent of our winding up of an estate, there's some real challenges there, and it doesn't need to be that way. So we've got many platforms and many structures that we use that are very simple, very cost effective, and take away a lot of the tax burden and a lot of the administrative burden when it comes to offshore investing. So it's an incredible world out there when it comes to the world of investing. But one has to make sure that they don't fall into the traps. And unfortunately, we are seeing it more and more often as people are trying to DIY their wealth. Yeah. And, you know, it's that law of unintended consequences, you know. You sometimes fall into a trap that you never knew was there.
Word to the wise. Always, if you use the right professional advice, whatever you pay for that is well worth the investment. And if you're looking for excellent financial advice, Sean Latta from PSG Wealth and Insure, well, he's available as close as your telephone and in the Simbizi Office Park for a visit personally. What is the contact number?
The contact number at the office is 0860 88 88 10.
So there it is, and you don't have to write it down. It's a podcast. You'll be able to pick it up and get hold of Sean or any of his colleagues at PSG Wealth Bolito. They do an absolutely fabulous job. And thanks for joining me on the morning show.
Dave, always a pleasure.
We look forward to the next one.